All right, let's go ahead. We'll get fired up here. We will be using the Rotherham. A couple notes that I always have on here. Also, Telios Ministries here. See this, and this is the web address right here. And Joshua Generation, you can see this is their address there as well for donations.
It's on Facebook now.
Huh?
It's on Facebook now.
Oh, okay, excellent. What's your... Walter Cunningham?
No.
Telios.
Just Telios Ministries?
It's complicated.
Oh, okay. All right, no problem. Okay, so here we go. We're going to do a little sharing here tonight. What do you believe? What is it that I believe? If somebody asks you that, how would you sum it up? Just come up and go, what do you believe? You know, well, golly, how long do you have? But think about that, because as I go through here, I'm going to show you why we need to be able to do that and to explain to people exactly what it is that you believe and why it is that you believe it and where that comes from. And so for us, I think it's important we're seeing nowadays that there's a lot of sway happening within America and within church groups, and what's being pushed and what's being sold, it's getting more and more watered down, and things are getting more and more divided from the actual word. And so for us as Christians, we need to know what it is that we believe and why, and how solid is that? Is it subject to change 50 years ago and 50 years from now? Is it going to be the same? Or is it going to change? Is it going to go with the tides, or is it going to stay exactly, you know, firmly planted? And so we need to know exactly what it is that we believe. Some very simple searches on the internet, okay? This is one of them here. Ministries tackle 70% rate of college students leaving faith. 7 out of 10 college students, when they go between the ages of 18, this was Pew Research in Barna, I think is the two that did it, 70% between 18 to like 20, 23 go into college saying that they're Christian, and 70% leave saying that they're not. Okay? And so most of that happens within 1 year. Most of that's within 1 year. And so what's happening? What's going on with that? What's taking place? Here's another one. Here's a whole string of searches. Can I believe both the Bible and evolution? Do I have to believe in literal creation to be a Christian? My pastor doesn't believe in Genesis. Can a person believe in both God and evolution? Okay? And if you think about this, what book do you think it is that is the first book that will be lost? Just to me would coincide would be the first book, Genesis. Okay, because you've got the flood in there, you've got Sodom and Gomorrah, you've got the creation, you've got so much stuff in there that people will be like going, well, we're going to argue that. And if you believe in that, you're going to become ridiculed. That if you believe this stuff, what else do you believe in? You know, and what's funny is the same people who are saying this they'll confess that they believe in aliens, or they believe in, you know, Bigfoot, or believe in something else weird, but we're the weird ones. Okay, so we have to be strong in what we believe and be able to defend what we believe. And I came across this, I thought this was kind of funny. A man was asked what he believed about Yahweh in the Bible. He said, well, I believe what my church teaches. He said, well, what does your church teach? The same thing that I believe. Well, what do you and your church believe? Well, it's simple. We believe the same thing. Okay? And it just seems to me that this is too much to where people don't take a side. They don't have a stand to where here's what we believe. And you know what? I may even differ from my church. I go to this church. I don't believe a lot of those things. And this is happening all over the place. A church will have these principles, but the same people that are in that church will disagree with a lot of those principles. And so there's division even within amongst that church. Trending. Here we go. Steady decline in Christians that believe the whole Bible is inspired word of Yahweh. Steady increase in the number of people who believe that the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, and writings of Buddha and other Eastern religious leaders all convey the same truth, just in different ways. Okay, that there's more than a way that a person gets forgiveness, a way that a person gets eternal life or life after this life. It's just, you know, there's so many things that are subject, and any of them are a way to do it. Steady increase in the number of people who believe that even though the Bible may be the word of Yahweh, it has very little impact on society. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that within governments across the world. We're seeing it within church organizations now. All right, so let's start off here in 1 Peter. And that's going to be on about page 240. 241. Actually, 240. And why doesn't somebody read that for me once they get to it?
Can I?
Sure, you may.
So, verse 15?
Verse 15 of chapter 3.
Okay. But the Lord Christ, hallow ye in your hearts, ready always for a defense unto everyone that is asking you a reason concerning the hope within you, nevertheless with meekness and reverence.
And reverence, that's it. Nevertheless, so I'm always ready for a defense unto everyone that is asking you reason concerning the hope within you. Okay? And so this is why I say that we should know this. It should be something that is ingrained into every single person. Just as, you know, when you're doing your math questions and whatnot, you can't say, well, my sister or my brother knows that. I'll just always rely on them for that answer. You need to know that. And so it's fundamental that these things are ingrained into us, and it's a same thing that we have to have that. I have our defense and be ready for it, then we can speak it, because it's not really as a defense, is as I would say as an offense, that I'm going to use this offensively, because if somebody's talking to me about it, here's my opportunity to get these words out to a person. This is an offensive. I don't have to defend it. I'm going to show you and explain and teach.
Amen.
What is your defense? Alright, flip over a page here. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 2. Melania, why don't you read this one for us once you get to it?
Okay. But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, men who will stealthily bring in destructive parties, even the master that brought them, denying, bringing upon themselves speedy destruction. And many will follow out their wanton ways, by reason of whom the ways of truth will be defamed.
That's exactly it. And so this is, again, these are some of the things. These are the ones that we should know, that a very effective way to infiltrate and cause a lot of damage is internally. Something on the inside that's pulling people away, because it's almost an inherited trust. And so false teachers, false prophets are going to be people who are going to sway people away from the actual truth. And so we have to be very steady and very strong in knowing what it is that we believe, so that we are aware when we see those and hear those words that we know that that is a false prophet or false teaching. Okay? And so we have to be ready for those types of things. 2 Peter 2, 18 through 20. How about you there, dude? You want to read for us 18 through 20?
Yeah. 18 through 20. For the great swelling of words and of vanity, uttering the inch with carnal covenings and wanton ways, then the well nigh escaping from the men who in error have their behavior, promising freedom to them, they themselves being all the while slaves of corruption. For by whom one hath been defeated, by the same hath he become enslaved.
In verse 20.
For if, having escaped from the defilements of the world by personal knowledge of the Lord and Savior Yahushua Mashiach, but by the same having again become entangled, they are defeated. The last that state hath become for them worse than the first.
That's it. Very good. And so again, this is where we have to be, you know, some of the things that will come out that will look attractive and be much, much easier to go along with are going to be those things that are promising freedom. And, that's so much easier. And why not? You know, for crying out loud, it's the popular thing. So why not? Let's just go along with this. And it's promising freedom. And in actuality, it's promising freedom. But they themselves, all the while, being slaves of corruption. Okay, and so we have to be aware of this, and if we have a weak foundation, this is where I look at it. You know, the 70% of the college students that leaves that within 1 year, you know, 18 years of their life within a year has completely been transformed.
Didn't have a foundation.
Yeah, and they're because of foundation, weak foundation. If you can chip away at a weak foundation and find vulnerabilities, then guess what? This is what's going to happen, and the adversary will play deep into those. Okay, I don't know why it didn't switch over here. Hang on a second here. I think that was supposed to be a different slide. It is. Okay, I don't know why I did that. Okay, so here we go. Foundation. 44% of teens, these are all from just looking through Google. This is not a, you know, in-depth search, mm-hmm. just typing into Google. 44% of teens read the Bible at least 3 or 4 times a year, and 1 in 4... 25% say they read the Bible at least once a week. This includes 3% who report daily reading. It's very low. 11% who report reading scripture several times per week, and 11% who read it once a week. Okay, this is from August 2016. This is a Barna, and this is between 13 and 17. So these are the Christians here that we're looking at that are reading. Only 3% are reading every day. Okay, so when you hear 70% of people are falling away, well, you can kind of look at these numbers here. And you go, yeah, I can see exactly why. I can see why, because without having the actual foundation, the scriptures, then it's going to be easy to do that. Never reading 37%. So that's not a shock to me there. All right, let's flip over to Matthew. Matthew 7. Page 7.
Has something to do with what Bible they're reading, too.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, too. I would agree with that, because if you get a milquetoast Bible. Okay, 7.
Lies.
24 through 27. Can I have an adult read that there?
Everyone, therefore, who heareth these my words and doeth them shall be likened to a prudent man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the streams came, and the winds blew, and rushed against that house, and it fell not, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who heareth these my words and doeth them not should be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the streams came, and the winds blew and dashed against that house, and it fell. And the fall thereof was great.
That's it. That's the whole thing with that. So even with this, when you see with the professors, those that are pulling people away, the kids are now having a chance of freedom. And they're associating with other people. And so they're hearing different words. They're hearing attack points. Where the Bible, where if you believe, you know, parts of the Bible are, yeah, we can agree with that. Parts we can't agree with. We just don't. No, you really believe in that part of the Bible?
Cherry picking.
Yeah, absolutely. The cherry picking these. And now all of a sudden the kids are being torn between, well, what's right, what's not. And if part of this is wrong, does that mean any of it's right? Mm-hmm. And this is where you see that it gets picked apart and gets taken down. That's where it's very important. And our group here, the everybody here, is not a problem. Okay, they're learning it. But I look at people who hopefully will watch this in the future, and for other people to be able to see it and to be able to take the statistics and be able to use those for their benefit. Okay. Teens read Bible more during the school year, okay? Teens whose parents read the Bible regularly are more likely to read it themselves. So that kind of seems normal. Among teens who say their parents read the Bible regularly or sometimes, 45% report reading the Bible at least once a week compared to just 5% of teens whose parents do not read it. So here's a big example. If parents are making their kids go to church and they have no interest in it, the kids pick up exactly that. They see exactly what's taking place, and they're going to mimic what their parents are doing, not what their parents are saying. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have to be great examples in that as well. Next one here, majority of teens see Bible reading as important. This was kind of a neat one here. Of U.S. teens hold the Bible in high regard. Read it with some regularity and seek to find guidance for daily living in its pages, says research conducted. A majority of teens, 69%, that they did the survey on said they owned a Bible. That is outstanding.
Yeah.
That's great. 69%. That's 70%. 25% read it at least twice weekly, and 52% read it at least once a year. Okay, so there's encouragement if we get people to learn the actual truth, and we can have a solid foundation. Cracks in the foundation. Okay, here we go. More U.S. Christians okay with homosexuality. This is not my research. This is a Pew Research Center. Amid changing religious landscape that has been declining, percentage of Americans who identify as Christian, a majority of U.S. Christians, 54%, now say that homosexuality should be accepted rather than discouraged by society. While this is still considered lower than the shares of those basically non-religious, but 54% now are saying this. What has happened? Okay? I don't know if you guys can read this. This is the Pew Research right here. It's as big as I can put it on there. Almost all Christian groups now more accepting of homosexuality. This was between 2007 and 2014. You look here at just the all Christians here, 54% now. 7 years ago, it was 44%. It's gone up 10%. Look at some of these that are interesting. Mormonism was 24% up to 36%. Catholicism was 78% up to 70%. Okay, some of these had greater than a 12% increase in 7 years. Okay, what's happening and what's taking place? Now, add 10 more years to this. What's going to happen? Okay, what's going to take place? And you are going to be challenged. You are absolutely going to be challenged on this as a church. Well, this church now is saying that it's okay. So where are you? Do they not use the same word that you do? And if you don't have an answer to these things, it's going to make you, well, you're a hater. You just hate people. You just don't like it. And so this is where I think that it's very important. We see what's happened in 7 years, that it's gone up over 50% for all Christianity, that we have to be ready. And we have to be ready to speak the truth. We have to be ready to speak the truth through the words, okay, that are here, because it's not going to get easier. This is going to get tougher. And if 7 years we've gone this far, another 7 years, I expect to be more than 10%. Okay. And so this is what's coming down the pike for us, that we have to be bold and we have to be ready to speak in truth. Okay? Especially for your kids, because it's going to come all the way down from every angle. Cracks in the foundation. Is the Bible Yahweh breathed? This always makes me laugh, because when I was putting this together, I was thinking about the scene in Dumb and Dumber where Harry's standing outside getting gas and the girl pulls up and he's looking at it and goes, "Those are your skis?" "Yeah." "Cool. Both of them?" "Yeah." Okay. That's exactly how I look at this when I do this. Is the Bible, is Yahweh breathed? All of it? Okay. We shouldn't have to ask that.
Yeah.
But the problem is that we do have to ask that, because now everything basically from the book of John and a couple others is what's being taught. And everything in the Old Testament, and very little in the New Testament, is being shared out, and now it's being squeezed down, and it's being squeezed down that we don't discuss those things. That was then. Things are different. Things are different. And then, hey, let's look at this group over here. Look at those people. They're Christians. They come to church all the time. They're homosexuals, but they come to church all the time. They give a lot of money for tithing. What, are they not supposed to be able to come to church? These are the things that are going to be coming, and they're not going to be the grotesque portions of it. They're going to be the ones that they can try to look. How could you tell these people no? How could you say no to this? And this is where we have to be ready for. Is the Bible Yahweh breathed? Yes. Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And let's look for some proof here. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy here. We are going to be on page 219. Chapter 3, 16, 17. Page 219, and we'll start reading over again with you once you get there, sweetheart. Okay, go to page 219. 16 and 17 of chapter 3.
I'm a master.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're up, baby.
Every scripture is God-breathed and profitable.
Profitable.
Profitable. And unto teaching and conviction, into correction, into the disciple that's in righteousness, in order that ready may be the man of God, unto every good work being well prepared.
prepared.
That's it. Every scripture is God-breathed. Okay, and so when we look at these and when you run into these, and you're going to run into other Christians who will now start to swallow this pill of corruption that is infiltrating into the church. And you're going to have other Christians that you'll be talking to, and they'll be like, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? And to be ready and to be armed, this is one of them, okay? That it, the 3:16 of Timothy that explains it. Let's flip over here to Peter, back a couple pages. Page 243. And Melania, I'll have you read this once you get to it. 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. This is the last two of this verse, or this chapter.
Watch it, Peter.
Of this verse, taking note that no prophecy of Scripture becometh self-solving. For not by will of man was prophecy brought in at any time, but as by Holy Spirit they were born along, spake men from Yahweh.
That's it. That's exactly it. So prophecy is exactly spoken to men from Yahweh. So when people say, well, yeah, the men wrote the book. Men wrote the book. Well, we have responses to this. Is, yeah, what took place? Exactly. They did utter it. It was God-breathed. They penned it, what Yahweh told them to pen. Okay, here's one here that's very recent here. This is October of 2016. I don't know who Tony Campolo is. Why gay Christians should be fully accepted into church. Okay, easy searches to find this stuff. Last year, announced he had no theological objection to gay relationships, homosexual relationships. Then extract, the veteran evangelical tells why he changed his mind. What made you change your mind on homosexuality? Okay, here comes the corruption and the perversion. One of the things that changed me was going back and studying biblical verses, studying the church fathers, I found that they said very little about it, if anything at all. Jesus, of course, never ever mentions it, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the kind of stuff, and guess what? The people who want to piggyback on this is real easy. Oh, well, guess what? I had somebody tell me that. There's nowhere in the New Testament that it speaks against homosexuality, and I said, let's just start here. And then all of a sudden he goes, well, that's what I was told. And he'd been carrying this around for years that it was nowhere in the New Testament until I started showing him. He goes, okay, that's enough. That's enough. Okay. And why? Because this is what you hear. That's exactly what I want to hear. Let's roll with that. Let's roll right here with this. And so I think to myself, boy, what happened in Genesis that created a Dead Sea? Okay. What was that? What was that? Was that condemnation in a major way that had probably never been seen on this earth before
of
what took place? Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was wiped out not because of the hostility towards the messenger that had come down to them. Okay, that's what's being taught now, the corruption of it. It was absolutely not. It was a corruption of the people and the homosexuality of the people. And this is what's being skewed, and that's where we have to be able to go back. And to know where the scriptures are that we can show people and speak against this, mm-hmm. because this is coming, and I will tell you this, I see this homosexuality within the church, personally, as the biggest divider that's going to run right through everything, and it is going to separate things like a snowplow right down. And those who say BS, we're going with what the Word says, and the Word speaks against homosexuality, you are going to be a small group of people that are slowly going to keep crossing over that plowed trough to get over to the other, to the high numbers. And this is what's going to happen. And homosexuality is pushing hard within the church to corrupt the church. And it is. And it's working. And it's working. And so we have to be ready and strong in our understanding of what's taking place. All right. We're here. 2 Peter. Let's read here. Melania, I think it's your turn here. And we're going to be in chapter 3, 14 and 16. Oh, did you read last time?
Yeah.
Okay, then you're up. 14 and 16 of chapter 3.
Wherefore, beloved, these things expect, giving diligence, unspotting and unblemished. By him be found in peace, and account our Lord's long-suffering to be salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written you. Also, in all letters speaking in them concerning these things, in which letters are some things hard to be understood, which the unstructured and unstable wrist, also the other sculptures into their own destruction.
That's it. And so the unlearned or the ununderstood, and I don't consider these to be hard things, but what they are is they, what used to not be a hard thing within the Christian church of homosexuality has now become a hard thing. Okay, to where it's being pushed and people are having to fight it. And when you fight it, those people are going to be asked to leave. They're going to be asked to leave and not be part of that group.
Now, verse 17 is so apparent.
Yeah, go ahead and read it. Wendy, would you?
Ye therefore, beloved, taking note beforehand, be on your guard, lest with the error of the impious being led away, ye fall from your own steadfastness.
That's it. And so the numbers don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Okay, the numbers of Christians at 54% now that say that it's okay, and then the numbers 7 years from now that say 75% say it's okay, mean nothing. Mean absolutely nothing. It just means that you have to be ready even more on your guard and ready to do those fights and do those battles.
Amen.
Isaiah, let's flip over to here. And Wendy, I'll have you read this one here for me if you would. And we're going to be on page 673. 672, probably. Okay, Isaiah 28, verse 16.
Therefore, thus saith my Lord Yahweh, behold me founding in Zion, or Zion, a stone of testing, the costly corner of a well-laid foundation. He that trusteth shall not make haste, but I will make justice the line, and the righteous the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away your refuge of lying, and your hiding place the waters shall overflow.
That's it. That's it. And so we see all the way in Isaiah, the word, the God-breathed, the Yahweh-breathed word is prophesied, and it's prophesied over and over and over again. It's one book that does that, that the prophecies have shown forth to come through. Thousands of years, hundreds of years, depending on which prophecy you're looking at, and this is over and over again. And there's one foundation. There's one foundation, okay, that's talked all the way about in Isaiah, that the foundation, okay, the stone, okay, is of the stone. This is the precious stone. That a stone, the costly or weighty stone, a heavy stone, being something that's very important. This is what's prophesied for. Okay, I thought this was kind of neat from Leonardo da Vinci. The greatest deception men suffer is from their own opinion. And I'm like, well, that's so true, because people will have an opinion and they'll sell themselves on it. And so what happens now is, even when it comes to it, if somebody doesn't want to fight, like, yeah, I don't want to fight this, for crying out loud. I disagree with this, but I'm not paying for it for the fight. And so they'll sell it to themselves, why it's okay not to fight, why it's okay not to speak against it. All these things that you sell yourself, and now you've sold it to yourself that it's okay and now it's good. Now I can clear my conscience. Everything's ready to roll. Okay, and this is where the deception. The deception that we sell ourselves on our own opinion. What it's okay. What does it take to go to paradise? Okay? Doing some good works here and there, you know, sweeping up every now and then. Okay, and so these are the things that people will say, why, he lived a good life. He lived a good life.
He was a good man.
Yeah, alright, last one here. Let's flip over to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, page 167. Who would like to read this?
I don't know.
Okay. Go ahead and go to it here on page 167, chapter 3, verse 11 through 13.
Okay. For other foundation can no one lay that when men die, that which is lying, which is Jesus Christ. But if anyone is building up upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Each one's work shall be made manifest for the day. It will make it plain, because by fire it is to be relieved. And each one's work of what sort it is, the fire
and self-reprove.
That's it. That's it. And so this is it. This is where we have to have. We have to have our foundation correctly. And the foundation and the knowing and believing that this is Yahweh's breathed word and what it instructs, whether it's popular, whether it's not popular, makes no difference. That Yahweh's line is a straight line that does not change as to what the flavor is outside. Okay? And that we have to be ready to do that. And it's going to require more work and more preparedness for us to be able to fight these battles and to be able to speak truth to those. And you're going to come across 10 out of, 10 people who are going to want to condemn you, and then possibly one person that you may be able to reach. And that's what we're going for. But to be able to speak it, defend it, and to be able to be offensive in your speech about why you believe and what it is. Okay? All right. Is this a church that's...
Yeah.
I came across that. I just typed into Google for images. I says the house on a rock, and this was one of the first ones that came up. And I'm like, going, man, that's that one up by Estes Park here.
Yeah, remember we saw that one year when it rained, and we had to go all the way around.
We had to go the other way around. I'm like, that's it. But okay, I'll go ahead and close here. Yahweh, we thank you for everything that you've given to us. Yahweh, we come before you in gratitude and humbleness, and that we are confessing our sins to you, Yahweh, that we are opening your word daily and searching out those things that we are finally honing the utilities and the tools of the things that you've given us, that we may be able to be prepared and be able to just carry a torch as a banner, that when people see us, that they will see the peculiarity, that they will see your son that is in us, that we are emulating this bright light, and that it will either make them shy away and go away as the light casts out the darkness, or it will make them question and come to us to question to see what it is that we have and what is different with us, and that we are ready to speak the glory and the hope of all those things that we have been bestowed with and entrusted with, and that we are there to speak your words. We thank you for that, Yahweh, and we thank you for the words that you give to us continually, that we may come to you always and discuss the things of our heart, to be able to just pour out thanksgiving upon you, and to seek advice and wisdom and discernment, and for what direction that you would have us every day for anything, any tasks that are at hand that we need to do. We just thank you for that, Yahweh, and for those blessings. And we thank you for the words that you give to those people who will be watching this at a later point. And we just say this in your son's name, Christ Jesus. My children, know that As you are seeking newness, as you are seeking for some kind of a brighter goal or an end goal, that there is only one thing, and that is within my son. That without that, you will have no, there'll be no fulfillment. There will be no satisfaction. For everything that is of this world is temporary and will be tossed away. But the things that you inherit and have been given into from my son are the things that will deter the moths and the rust, and those things will be laid away as treasure. And so seek these things, seek these and seek my ways, and come to me that I may be able to instruct you, and that I may be able to show you and shine down upon you. But you must know my son, and you must be able to have the spirit that I am pouring out, that I may be able to speak with you and give you this wisdom and fill in the voids of your life or those things you're seeking. For I have already seen these things, but I request that you come before me, and I call that you come before me humbled and on bent knee, that I may be able to see your hearts and manifest within them.